I don't know if it's our songs or just the Holy Spirit I want to give credit to, but I just feel like my heart is just bursting with so much that's wrapped up in here. I hope I can get this out and articulate it in the way that God has given it for me to give. But even just the last verse of that hymn, do you know most of the times we're praying when we're singing our hymns? Do you know that? And that last verse is just such a bold prayer. In fact, I just feel it on my heart to encourage us to be praying that, or if we want to sing it, fine. Pray it every day this week. Fill me, Lord, with dauntless love. Set my heart and my will on things above that we can conquer through your triumph. What Jesus did by his death on the cross and the resurrection. Give the grace sufficient for life's day. That by our lives we truly say, by our lives we say, by our actions, by our acting out our faith, and that's the tie-in with today's message and our focus on the book of Acts, that by our lives we truly say, Christ has triumphed. There is something so powerful about Easter, but there is also something so staggering of a responsibility we have. We can cheer and be excited and see our lilies and mums on Easter and see all of our friends and the church is full and it's fantastic. And then we just go on and do life. We just do things normal. We act as if that was great then. I'm on my own now. I got to do my best to figure it out. And if Easter was to accomplish anything, it was to clear out the garbage pile of all of our fears, the garbage pile of all of our past, the garbage pile of all of our failures, all of our what ifs, I don't know how to do it, all of our excuses. You know, think of that big pile of brush or dead plants that you put out in front of your house after the freeze, or think of any garbage dump that you've ever seen as a symbol of the pile of sins and limitations and roadblocks in our own thinking or in our own lives, what we've been through, and realize that the cross and the resurrection just bulldozes it out of the way and gives a clean slate to you and me to start life over, to start life free, to start life as God intended it for us to live, with this courageous faith, this active love, this wonderful blessing that he has in mind for us. And so for 8 weeks or so, we're going to work our way through the book of Acts. You might say, wow, if we're only doing 3 verses today, how are we going to do that in 8 weeks? Well, you know, God's going to guide all that stuff. I'm not too worried about it. But what I want you to notice, I'm going to put a map up here. I don't know if our people on Video Land are going to be able to see this. I'll try to describe it. But the map that you're seeing right now is a map of the touch of Christianity, the spread of Christianity throughout the ancient world. In the first 180 years, so just a generation or two after the last apostle died, Christianity had spread to almost the full reaches of the Roman Empire, roughly 200 million people. By the end of into the start of the 4th century, when the emperor is going to make Christianity now the legal religion, won't be persecuted anymore by his edict in Milan in AD 315, Christianity has spread to where you see the green then area also included. Now it's up to about 350 million people. Christianity rose and expanded at a dramatic rate in those first years because people lived out their faith. They acted on the resurrection hope that was theirs, like their lives depended on it. And in some cases it did. Because there were times of great persecution then, times of being put into a coliseum full of fans cheering on as you faced off with a roaring lion or with a gladiator trained in war. Now, there are people saying that persecution's coming back to the church. That may be in our lifetime, it may not be. But what I do know is that when people lived like their lives literally depended on the gospel, and they shared it with others as if their lives depended on the gospel, the world was changed. In just 300 years, 300 million people went from a Christless eternity to heaven with the resurrected Lord Jesus. That can happen for us too. And it's acting on our faith that I want you to realize and consider it's normal. It's not that, okay, it's good. I've got my shot. I'm all set. I have my resurrection shot and I'm okay and safe. I can live. I can make it. It's that we've now received something that, like yeast, we can spread to others. And if you have ever shared a good recipe with someone, if you ever shared a recommendation to a good restaurant with someone, if you ever shared, hey, this movie is great, you should go visit this, you know, this vacation spot, you've done some evangelizing. You've done that because you were excited about it. And I think God is asking us to also be excited about our faith enough that we share it, that we strive not just to build our retirement nest eggs, but to build the kingdom of God. We strive not just to build our own family or our business, but we strive to build God's family and be involved in his kingdom business. It's normal that we do it. In the book of James, this is not one of our main readings, but it just seemed like it illustrated it pretty well for us. In James chapter 2, verse 18, he says, some one of you may say to me, oh, I'll show you my faith without works. But James says flatly, you know what? I'll show you my works. I'll show you my faith by what I do, by my works. That's what it really is all about. And where does that come from? Where does James' confidence come from? James was one of those who was in that upper room when the door was locked because he was terrified of the leaders of the Jewish synagogues and everything else, that what they could do to isolate him, to abolish him from the community of people. He was terrified, the door was locked and all that, but all of the change started with the resurrection. So that's why our reading in the book of Acts is just about the resurrection. We hear Jesus saying there, and we pick it up in Acts 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He ate food. He talked with them. It's interesting that he comes and goes as he pleases. It doesn't seem like Jesus needs to sleep anymore. Some of us might envy that. You can pack more into your day. I don't know. But he just kind of comes and goes. And every time he comes, he brings them peace. He brings them another proof. He brought it to Thomas. And he told us that that blessing is there for those who believe, even when we haven't seen. After his suffering, he showed them those proofs. Oh, and even over a period of 40 days, he spoke about the kingdom of God. So the resurrection's the foundation. We'll talk a lot about the resurrection in Bible class for anybody that wants to stay and how that's there. But just real quickly off the top of our heads, a phrase that you've probably heard. If there is no resurrection, we are still in our sins. It is life or death. It is heaven or hell. That much of a difference. But with the resurrection as our foundation, then our next step is to act on our faith. To live it out. You know, the day is coming pretty soon when we're going to act on the shots that we've all received. We're going to get to take these masks off, right? We don't have to wait until that day for us to act out our faith. We can act it out and live that new life because it's already ours. Here's how Jesus said it in the gospel reading. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Now, that doesn't mean you and I are going to get sent to Madagascar or Guatemala, or we're going to get sent to any one of the far reaches of the earth. It doesn't mean necessarily we're even going to get sent down to the border, you know, with this crisis of people seeking safety from all the abuse and suffering in their countries. You know, the child trafficking and just terrible things that are going on in these other nations that drive people in desperation to try to come here. It doesn't mean we have to go there and do that, but it means, as Jesus said in the Great Commission, go into and make disciples. As you go, wherever you go, whenever you go, bless someone in the supermarket, bless someone in the dry cleaner, bless someone on a Zoom call with your family, that it's not just about what we get, it's about what we give because of what God's given to us. we have been sent by Jesus to do that. And we are living out this new life, this I am loved, I am his, I will live with the Lord forever kind of life. That's what the resurrection means. And Romans 6 that we heard Dave read from us, our second reading, says this: since we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Live a new life. I don't know how many of you use social media, but I bet you've at least heard this phrase where you get someone puts something up and then you like it, or you see someone that you want to connect with and you friend them, or they friend you, right? You maybe have heard those phrases. Can you imagine that any of us would ever click on the continue in the life of sin post? We want to like that. Can you imagine that you want to click on, I want to be friend with the devil and the flesh and all those other, those other ways, the ways of the world that would pull us into sin? What I guess I'm trying to get at this is, let's really act like the death, Jesus's death for our sins and Jesus' resurrection for our salvation really happened. Let's once and for all decide, I'm done with sin. And I want to ask you to put it in a really personal way. One way or another, sin hurts. Sin either hurts you, it's something against your own body, it hurts someone else, or it hurts God's kingdom. It hurts God's reputation, because someone who knows you're a Christian sees you acting in an unchristian, sinful way, and they go, I guess being a Christian doesn't really matter. Sin always hurts somewhere, somehow. And if we personalize it that way and think, I don't want to hurt my sister. I don't want to hurt my friend. I don't want to hurt God's reputation. I don't want to hurt myself. If we can personalize it that way, we will just be so ready to be done with sin. I don't want any sniff of it. I don't even want to, count myself any part of it. I won't even rent any space in my head or my heart to sin. Here's how he goes on in Romans 6:11 to say that. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its desires. Or just to say it the way we said it before, act like you are done with sin. I don't want to hurt anyone, anywhere, anymore. We're done with it. We're not going to let it reign that we obey its desires. To wrap up, I want to ask you for a few moments in your own imagination. Imagine what it will be like if you really live this life. Do we still have hurts? Do we still have fears? But we have something bigger. We have his resurrection life. We have his promise that we are more than conquerors. We have the opportunity as we go through this study in the book of Acts to learn more and more how to depend on him and how to give less sway and control to our own fears, our own past, our own mistakes, our own hang-ups. Imagine the blessing that is waiting for you as you live this fully free life without sin working and reigning in you. Just like we're all looking forward to our masks coming off and getting to travel, and we can imagine how wonderful it's going to be when the world gets back to normal, I ask you to imagine how wonderful it will be when the resurrection life really is lived out in my life, in your life, in us, in a growing, progressing way as a Christian family. That blessing is what part of what Jesus was talking about when he spoke to Thomas, when he said, because you've seen me, you believe, but blessed beyond what you can imagine are going to be those who believe without seeing, who then act on that faith, who live out this resurrection truth, who are done with sin and want to instead to live for God as Jesus himself did. May he help us do that. May he fire our imagination. May he steal our will to say, with the Spirit's help, I will be done with sin. And may we walk with joy into the blessedness of what he has planned for us. Amen. I invite you to join me now in speaking our words of faith from the Creed. Today it's the Nicene Creed. If you're able to stand, please do so. But all of us, let's join and speak our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I invite you to be seated, but to remain united together in our prayers.